Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be giving you my Western Conference semifinals preview. We'll go through all four teams, guys, how they got here, and then we'll talk about the teams that were eliminated as well. Also, some other NBA news that I'll chime in with as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we're in the midst of playoffs and the action is just crazy. So it's been exciting so far. A lot of surprising results and not so surprising. So with all of that said, let us not delay, guys. Let's get into it. So, guys, we have our four teams that's left in the conference semifinals for the West. And we'll start out with the number one seed, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And they'll be going up against the fourth seed, the Denver Nuggets. Now, for the season series, they actually split, guys, two games apiece. So this is a pretty even matchup, guys. So this is how it went down. Oklahoma City, how they got here? They swept. They went and swept the 8 seed, the Memphis Grizzlies, guys. They absolutely embarrassed them. Game one, they won that 131-80. Game two, both of these are in Oklahoma City, by the way. So game two, 118-99. Then they go on to Memphis, where they get the win in game three, kind of close, 114-108. And then the clinching final game, game four, and that was very close. 117-115. And all in all, guys, they averaged nearly 20 points per a winning margin of nearly 20 points. So the two initial blowouts and then the close games in Memphis. So that's how OKC got there. And all their stars shined for that series. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, and the rest played well. Now, how Denver got here, they had to go seven games, guys, with the L.A. Clippers. Guys, I thought the Clippers had a chance in this series. I really did, but it seems like the cream rose to the top for the Denver Nuggets. I figured with the tumultuous way that they got rid of Mike Malone, that might have an adverse effect on the team. It doesn't seem so, guys. It seems like David Adelman is pushing all the right buttons right now. So they were able to win this series in seven games. This is how it shook out, guys. A lot of games I watched, including the first game one and then the clinching game for Denver, game seven. Game one, that went to overtime, guys, and that was a Denver win, 112-110. I believe Aaron Gordon, he hit the game-winning basket in that one, and then you go to game two. L.A. Clippers get that one in Denver, 105-102, so you now go 1-1 heading to L.A., L.A. gets game three, 117-83, and an absolute blowout. And then Denver rights the ship and gets that game four victory, 101-99. Thus, heading back to Denver, where they got the win there, 131-115. So they're up 3-2, heading back to LA, and then LA Clippers save face and got the win on their home floor, 111-105, thus setting up the clinching game, game 7. I watched that. It was kind of close in the beginning, but Denver began to pull away towards the second quarter into the third, and then after that, it was just game over. So Denver wins it 120-101. So they get the win in that series, guys. And I tell you what, Denver's looking like peak Denver of a couple of years ago when they won the championship. Again, my only caveat is their bench. I worry about that. But nonetheless, let us talk about the key matchups and then the keys to victory and then my prediction. So, key matchup, guys. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going up against the likes of a, I think it could be a switch off between Christian Braun and also Jamal Murray. I think they'll be switching off trying to contain SGA. How well will they do this? We'll see. Oh, by the way, this series is a matchup of the top two MVP candidates, guys. So it'll be very interesting in that regard between SGA and the Joker, Nikola Jokic. So that's a matchup that'll be intriguing. Jalen Williams against Aaron Gordon. I think this is an intriguing matchup, guys. How well Gordon matches up with Williams, I think will hold a key in this series. And then you're going to have probably a steady diet of Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein on the Joker. How well they defend him, that remains to be seen. The Joker was kind of held at bay in the Clippers series. Ivica Zubac did an excellent job on him. A guy who has the same size, same girth, was able to somewhat neutralize Joker. So these guys have none of that. So Joker could be in for a big series here. Keys to victory for the Thunder. Depth. Guys, we know what the starting lineup can do with SGA, Jalen Williams, Holmgren, and those guys there. I think it's going to come down to that bench, what that bench can give you guys. Guys like Isaiah Joe there, Aaron Wiggins, and also Alex Caruso. We'll see what he can muster up. But I think the bench is going to have to play a part in this. And then you got the MVP showdown. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander versus the Joker. Not like they're guarding each other, but both guys are in the MVP race. And we still have yet to get the results. I'll do a recap of all the postseason awards. I'll do an episode on that. But that's going to be intriguing. And then for Denver, keys to victory. Health. I think you need a healthy Denver squad in order to pull up the upset here. You know, Jamal Murray, he's, when it comes to his health, you got to keep a keen eye on that. Also, the likes of a Michael Porter Jr., you have to keep an eye on him as well. I think also his matchup with Lou Dort will be interesting also. I didn't mention that. But you have that. Aaron Gordon, too, who's seen his share of injuries towards the latter end of the season. So I think all of that has to be paid attention to. And we'll just see. And then I think for Denver, they're going to need bench help. They're going to need guys like Russell Westbrook, who has been playing fantastic coming off their bench. Perry Watson. Also, when you have to spell the Joker, a DeAndre Jordan, you'll need him as well. those guys are going to have to give you some quality minutes in this series. My prediction, and then also before I do my prediction, guys, you have Russell Westbrook going back to where it all started, Oklahoma City. You know, that's where he was first, well, technically actually started being drafted by the Seattle Supersonics, but he ends up in OKC when they relocated. But that's neither here nor there. So he's going back against his original squad there. And then Isaiah Hartenstein, he had a brief stint with the Denver Nuggets. He'll be going up against them as well. So my prediction, it's got the looks of a long series, guys. I say it's 7 games, and I'm going to pick OKC, guys, by the slimmest of margins. But listen, I wouldn't be surprised if the experience of a Denver is able to capitalize on this young Oklahoma City Thunder squad. And then you got to remember, too, guys, you do have a closer in SGA. Will guys like Jalen Williams give you something? Guys like Chet Holmgren give you something when they got SGA perhaps locked up? We'll see. So I'm saying Thunder in 7, but I'm saying it with a lot of trepidation, guys. So we'll see what happens. And then the other series, guys, and this is the shocker, guys. You have the 6th seed, the Minnesota Timberwolves, going up against the 7th seed, the Golden State Warriors. Golden State in this series, they won the series 3 games out of 4. But mind you, their last game was in January 15th. So you're talking about nearly 4 months ago. So this is a different looking squad that Golden State is facing. You have a healthy now Julius Randle. You have a healthy Dante DiVincenzo. So that's going to be a boon for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So let's just talk about how each of them got here. Minnesota, they got here winning 4-1 over the 3 seed, the LA Lakers, guys. Wow. Absolutely a stunner. So Minnesota takes game one in LA, 117-95. I mean, absolutely blowing them out to gym, guys. And then LA would take game two, 94-85, thus setting up them going to Minnesota with the series not at 1-1. Minnesota in game three, 116-104. And game four, the controversial game four, where they got the victory 116-113. This is a game where Coach J.J. Redick in the second half played his starters the whole 24 minutes, guys. And he got a lot of ridicule from many media heads over that one. And then game five back in L.A., Minnesota, in a close one, they pull it out, guys. 103-96. In a game where Rudy Gobert absolutely went absolutely nuts with a 2020 double-double. I mean, he looked like vintage Shaquille O'Neal in that game. I mean, he was absolutely amazing. Thus, and then remember, too, J.J. Redick, you know, his issue with his bigs over there. So he kind of played small ball. And Chris Finch, you got to start giving Chris Finch some credit, guys. This man can coach. Oh, my gosh. And for him to adjust in this series and absolutely capitalize on the, I would say, as far as J.J. Redick, you know, this being his first playoff, the inexperience of him coaching in the playoffs, I mean, Chris Finch took advantage, guys. Wow. And thus, they get the win in game five. So much so, Anthony Edwards, after the game, he spins the block, if you will. He went right around the Crypto Center, right around that arena after the game, talking to folks on the street, letting them know, yeah, I smacked your team out of here. This kid, man, he's just too much. But to the victors goes the spoils. So they get the win and they advance. Now, Golden State Warriors, they advance by going seven games with the number two seed, the Houston Rockets. I actually thought Houston had a chance in this series, guys. I thought everything pointed to them. I did pick it seven games, but everything pointed to Houston getting that last game at home and perhaps pulling it out, but it wasn't to be, guys. It just wasn't to be. So here's how the series shook out. Golden State takes game one, and you notice a pattern here, guys, where the team that gets the opening game victory ends up winning the series in all four of these series I'm talking about here. So Golden State gets the win in game one, 95-85, thus setting up game two in Houston, where Houston saves face and get the win, 109-94, thus setting the stage to head to the Chase Arena in Golden State, where Golden State gets the win in game three and four, 104-93, and then game four, 109-106. Thus putting Golden State up 3-1, setting up a game five at Houston, where Houston gets the win, 131-116. Your game six. I ended up watching most of these games, guys, especially six and seven. Houston in game six, they took care of business in Golden State. I was absolutely stunned. But they saved face, 115-107. And then game seven, I really thought they had a chance, guys. But Buddy Hield went nuts, guys. He had nine threes in that game. And thus, Golden State gets the win, 103-89. So the Warriors advance and the Timberwolves advance. So your key matchups, I'd say Anthony Edwards. I think this kid is looking for he's going for it, guys. So I think he's going to go head up with Steph Curry. I think he's going to try and do that. That's the way this kid is built. He has kind of that Michael Jordan way about him where he wants to, you know, create the challenge, and that would be a challenge for him, that's for sure. So I could see that. But I think this matchup here is the one where people are paying close attention. Rudy Gobert versus Draymond Green. Now, guys, last year, Draymond, in that game where Klay Thompson was still on the squad and there was a bit of a skirmish going on where Rudy Gobert tried and separate Klay Thompson from his teammate. And then that's when Draymond Green comes out of nowhere, puts Rudy Gobert in the headlock and kind of drags him, thus getting a suspension for that and fine as well. So this matchup here, I tell you what, I think If you take the Rudy Gobert in that game seven and plop him into this series, I think he has the advantage. Although Draymond Green will try and get the psychological advantage, of course, you know how he does. So we'll see what happens in that regard. And then Jaden McDaniels versus Jimmy Butler. I think this is the matchup that will decide the series for me. I think the player here who has the better games in this series will win this series. So, and Jaden McDaniels is a guy who can D you up, who can lock you up, and playoff Jimmy, what more can we say in that regard? Keys for Minnesota. Hey, guys, as a sixth seed, they have the home court advantage. So that's something that I'm sure coming into this they didn't realize, but they have it in this series. So that's definitely an advantage for them. Anthony Edwards, I think he has to be full on. In that game seven, he didn't play all that great, guys, although they got the win. I believe he's 5-for-19, not going to get it done. He cannot have those type of games against Golden State. He has to be Anthony Edwards in order for this team to advance. And then Rudy Gobert, I just mentioned. I think he must control the paint. He must control the paint in this series in order for them to get this win. For the Warriors, me, the keys, can a guy like Buddy Hield stay hot? They now inserted him into the starting lineup, so to get some extra punch, if you will, on offense. But Minnesota has some dogs over there that can lock you up. So it'll be interesting to see if Buddy Hield ends up a starter throughout this series. Playoff Jimmy, he has to have a great series. And mind you, this is another series where you have two players going back to their old teams. Jimmy Butler, when he was with the Minnesota Timberwolves, he's facing his old team. And Dante DiVincenzo facing his old squad, the Golden State Warriors. So you have those two stories there. So I'm sure both players are going to want to show up and show out. So, but playoff Jimmy has to have a fine series in order for Golden State to win. And Draymond Green, can he stay under control? Knowing that history between him and Gobert, can he keep his cool in this series? And you know the refs will be watching. They know the history between these two guys, whether it be verbal or whether it be actual laying on hands that Draymond did. So the refs will be watching this. My prediction, I went back and forth with this, guys. I think Minnesota's on something, guys. I think they're on something. And for them to vanquish the Lakers as they did really said something to me, guys. I think in this series, I'm giving them six games to take out Golden State. Again, I think this is a team that's ready to show you something. So I'm saying Minnesota in six, guys. All right, so that is that bit of news. Let us go through the teams that were knocked out and what lies for their future, and then I'll give you some other news. Let's start with Memphis, the first Western team out of the playoffs. Their salary cap for next season stands at $136.4 million. They have a few free agents. Marvin Bagley III, I don't even know how he ended up getting here. I think it was that three-way deal at the trade deadline. But he's getting $12.5 million, guys. That's coming off the books. Luke Kennard at $9.2 million. His money will be coming off. Whether they bring him back, we'll see. And Sauti Aldama. Now, the team has a qualifying offer on him at $5.9 million. I think they re-sign him at that number and possibly give him an extension. He's a valuable piece for that Memphis Grizzlies ball club, especially coming off the bench. He can start in spots for guys like Jaren Jackson Jr. or Zach Edey as well. So I think he comes back and he gets re-signed for bigger money. Now, the big question, do they break up their big three? Ja Morant right now, he has three more years left on his deal at $126 million. Do they deal him? Do they say, you know what, Ja Morant, is he worth the trouble? We'll see. So you have that. Desmond Bane, he has 4 years at $163 million. I realized he was getting this much money, Desmond Bane. That's a lot of money for a guy who's a solid player, guys. Solid player. Has he made an all-star game yet? No, but it's that. And then Jaren Jackson Jr., who's will be on the last year of his deal at $23 million. So Memphis has a big question whether to invest full-time in Jaren Jackson Jr. We'll see. And then the coach, Osola, he had the interim tag removed. Now he's the head coach. So you have your coach in place now for next season. I figure he'll be given somewhat of a long rope in that regard. So we'll see. But so they'll have him there. But again, what do Memphis end up doing with the big three there? That will be very interesting to see. So we'll see what happens there. The LA Lakers, their salary cap for next year, guys, is $189.2 million. And then for them, they're free agents. LeBron has a player option at $52.6 million. So there's that. Also, Dorian Finney-Smith, he has a player option at $15.3 million. I think he opts in. Also, you have Markieff Morris. He's a free agent. Christian Wood, who we haven't seen him play in eons. Jackson Hayes, the embattled starting center. He's a free agent. Cam Reddish, he'll be a free agent as well. And Alex Lynn, who they brought in at the deadline, actually got him off of waivers. He didn't play much for them. So a lot of decisions there. Now, does LeBron stick around in LA? For all intents and purposes, you would think yes, but I don't know if I 100% say yes or no. You would think yes, but the fact that Bronny is still there, you know, he has three more years on his deal. So I think it's all up to LeBron. Does he want to continue there and retire as a Laker, or does he want to take his skills elsewhere? But I think wherever he goes, he has to know that he's not that number one guy anymore. I understand. I get it. Look at the numbers as far as what he did this season, but he is not that number one guy, not at the age of 40-plus for next year at least. So there's that. And Luka's conditioning. J.J. Redick in his postseason, if you will, press conference, he kind of alluded to conditioning being a problem for some players. I'm sure he was singling out Luka Doncic. And then remember, too, guys, he's up for that extension. So I would say they do the extension with him, but I think they want to see better conditioning from Luka Doncic. Because remember, that was a knock on him coming into L.A. Because Nico Harris, he caught a lot of heat over that. And it turns out he wasn't too far off base as far as that goes. But we'll see what happens there. But I think those are the key things the Lakers will be looking at in this offseason. So we'll see what happens with the Lakers. Then moving to the LA Clippers, staying in LA. And as kind of a postmortem for the LA Clippers, James Harden, man, you talk about somebody embattled after this game seven loss. James Harden has lost game sevens with four different teams, a distinction you don't want to have, guys, but he has it. So much so that on the odd couple with Rob Parker and Kelvin Washington, they were talking about him being a Hall of Famer, saying that James Harden is in a Hall of Fame because of his postseason failures, which I don't believe you can do that. The man is an MVP in the league. He's led the league in scoring. He's led the league in assists. You're not going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. But, yeah, so there's that. But, yeah, so Harden is catching a lot of heat, guys. So, with that said, their salary cap for next season, $174.1 million. Their free agents, and lo and behold, James Harden, he can opt out of his player option. And his number right now is at $36.3 million. So does he opt in or does he go on the free agent market? We'll see. Given his resume, guys, I don't know what he's going to command out there. So we'll see what happens there. Also, Nick Batum has a player option at $14.9 million. I think he opts in. And then you have Ben Simmons. He's a free agent at $1 million. Remember, he got waived by the Nets, so the Clippers were able to get him at that cheap price. Does he come back to LA? We'll see. But that's your free agents, guys. And question is, I know we're talking about James Harden now. Here's what I propose. I may be the only one saying this, but here we are. Let's say James Harden opts out of his player option. He opts out. So now you have Kawhi on the books. I'm going to say this, and I don't think I've heard anyone mention this, but I understand. I heard Lawrence Frank give glowing reviews on the way out about James Harden and about Kawhi Leonard. But I tell you what, guys, if I'm Lawrence Frank, again, I'm the only one saying this, but I'm dealing Kawhi Leonard. I'm striking while the iron is hot. What he did in this postseason here, you're going to get a team to bite. He has 2 years left at $100 million. Will he be healthy for that 2 years at $100 million? Who knows? But you'll get a team to bite, guys. You will get a team out there that will bite. I'll tell you a team that could definitely use him. The Houston Rockets. I'll talk about them in a minute. But you're trying to tell me that actually, Kendrick Perkins talk about this. You're telling me a Jalen Green and possibly a Dylan Brooks for Kawhi Leonard, or a Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, Cam Whitmore, and some draft picks for Kawhi Leonard? You can't do that. I say you got to consider it. you have to consider it if you're LA. You're going to have to retool at some point. So why not go in this route now while Kawhi Leonard's value is very high? So I would deal him. I would deal Kawhi Leonard. I know it's sacrilege. Maybe Steve Ballmer doesn't want to sign off on something like that, but you have to consider it, guys. You have to consider it. I'm just saying. So there's that. And then you're going to have to do a contract extension for Norman Powell. Right now, he's on his last year at $20.4 million. You saw what he did last season, giving you nearly most improved player numbers. If he had to get the right amount of games, he would have been in the running for that. So you're going to have to do something with Norman Powell. And then Ty Lue, does he want to stay still? You know, he's gone through a few tough game sevens himself in his career. So does he want to hang around? We'll see what happens. But I think this is something that the Clippers should think strongly about, especially if James Harden opts out. I think that's where you kind of build from the bottom and reconstruct. I'm just saying. So there's that. And then the Houston Rockets. Their salary cap, $141.5 million. So they got some room under the cap. Your free agents, Steven Adams at 12.6. I think they should bring Steven Adams back. He was invaluable to them in the playoffs, especially even having Alperen Sengun play next to him. I thought that served Houston very well. You have a team option on Fred VanVleet at $44.8 million. So do the Rockets opt in for that? We'll see. And then Jeff Green at $8 million, the seasoned veteran. And then Jay Sean Tate at $7.5 million. So you have some money there that could come off. The obvious target is Kevin Durant. Again, I'm not giving the moon and the stars for Kevin Durant. I heard Kendrick Perkins say Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, and Cam Whitmore for Kevin Durant. Here's my question, though. Why would Phoenix accept that? Because think about it. You already have Devin Booker there. You already have a Bradley Beal there. Bringing a Jalen Green is just redundant. So I understand. I get it. The numbers make it work. But why would Phoenix do that? So I don't know if Houston is Kevin Durant's destination. I tell you who could go there. A Giannis Antetokounmpo. Milwaukee right now is at a crossroads. You have Dame Lillard, who's going to be out for the season with the torn ACL, pretty much. You won't have him for the calendar year of 2025, pretty much into 2026. So Milwaukee has some hard thinking to do. Maybe you bring in some young guys and is kind of retool this thing. Jalen Green in Milwaukee, somewhere where, you know, it's low key. He does, you know, he can go there and rebrand himself there. You bring along a Jabari Smith, a promising big man, a guy who can, I don't want to say replace Giannis, but he's a guy who you can plug into Giannis's starting spot, who has a lot of promise. Maybe a Cam Whitmore, maybe a Tony Eason you bring along as well, some draft picks. But I think for Houston, the target should not be Kevin Durant. I think it should be Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm just saying. So there's that. And I've been talking about Jalen Green. Here's what he did in those seven games, guys. 7 points in game one. He explodes in game two, 38 points. Follows that up with a 9-point game in game three, 8 points in game four, 11 points in game five, 12 points in game six, and just 8 points in game seven. You cannot have your top tier guy put up numbers like this. You can't do it, guys. So I think he's on the move. And again, a change of scenery might be good for him. We'll see what happens. So there's that as far as Houston goes. Then a few other things before we're out of here. Utah, the Utah Jazz, team with the worst record in the NBA. Get this, guys. They give a contract extension to the head coach, Will Hardy, and it's to go through 2030 and 2021, guys. Wow. Here's what he's done in the three seasons as head coach with the Jazz. 85 and 161, guys. No playoffs. And mind you, last season, he went 17 and 65, guys. But Danny Ainge says he loves what he does as far as developing the players and all that. So there's that. Will Hardy, he's a former assistant of Greg Popovich over there with the San Antonio Spurs. He was there for a number of years, and then he did a couple of seasons with M.A. Aduka in Boston. But and think about it. You see guys like Mike Malone being let go. Mike Budenholzer, all championship coaches, albeit Mike Budenholzer has only spent a year with Phoenix. That's a story for another day. Well, actually, I've chronicled it. Mike Malone, I talked about him leaving as well. Also, Taylor Jenkins being let go. You got these guys here, playoff got coaches here being let go. But a guy like Will Hardy, he's given an extension. So make it make sense, guys. I can't do it. So there's that. And then last piece of business, shout out to Carmelo Anthony, guys. He's been hired as a studio analyst for NBC, guys. So you know the NBA with the new TV package, they're heading to NBC to do games. So he'll be in studio. So you're going to have guys like Carmelo Anthony. You'll have Dirk Nowitzki. He's also an in-studio analyst. Steve Nash as well. So, hey, NBC is loading up the big guns, guys. I think Carmelo will do an excellent job as a studio analyst there. I think he'll be just fine in that regard. So, I look forward to it. I look forward to what Carmelo can do in that regard. Remember, he has the podcast, guys, that I think is one of the top basketball podcasts out there, 7 p.m. in Brooklyn. He's doing an amazing job there with all the guys he got over there. So congrats, Melo, and I look forward to seeing you in the studio for NBC. So, all right, guys, so that is it for this episode. All things basketball with GD.com is the website. And guys, we're going to do, like I said, the postseason awards breakdown. I'll do that. Also, WNBA, we got preseason action. We just had games on the weekend there. You had Angel Reese and Haley Van Lift going back to LSU to play a game there, which was a rousing success. And then you had two nights later, Caitlin Clark, she goes back to her alma mater, Iowa University, and she has a very nice game there. She only played about 16 minutes, whatever it was, but it looks like she's in rare form right now. She has a loaded team, so guys, I will be breaking all that down as far as the season goes, my predictions and all those sort of things. So that'll be coming up within the next few weeks before I take a little vacation. I want to get those episodes out the way. So there you go. All right, guys, I thank you for listening as always. Again, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you'll find my episodes, clips, all those things, my donation buttons, guys. And in the scroll, I have my Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. My donate buttons, PayPal, Spotify donate, and buy me a coffee. Help this here show, guys. Give to your boy so he could keep this thing rolling, all right? This show doesn't continue without your support, so I thank you for that. Also, guys, all podcast platforms, I'm on there, Apple included, so like the videos. Comment where you able to comment. YouTube, I'm there. I have my YouTube channel as well, guys. Social media, Instagram, TikTok, while it's still alive. Blue Sky, some Facebook, and that's about it. I'm just keeping my concentration on those there. So thank you guys for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.